your Bibles, open up to the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 10 through 13. Okay. So praise the Lord. Glory to God. Y'all got your Bibles open and I don't. Let me get there. I'll get there. You want more light? Yeah, we don't need the screen, so we need more light. There we go. God said, let there be light, and he said it, and it happened. We have to flip a switch. Okay. But praise God for the switch. Okay. Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Hallelujah. God is so good. I mean it. I had no clue what I was going to play for our video this morning, but he gave us a great video by Larry Ollison. Pastor, I know you're going to listen to this, so I highly recommend you get that one and look at it. Larry Ollison, that we're going, it's almost time to go home. I believe that's what it was called. It was very good. And it talked about the fact that the Lord came to this world, the world he created. Came to his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God. And so each of us is a son of God. Hallelujah. So today's message, as I mentioned before, is about gifts. The best of gifts. And the Lord had me to, he just put it in my heart about this song we sang in praise and worship. Majesty. I've got to turn this down. Okay. Majesty. I wonder if people really consider that word. I mean, royalty takes it, your majesty. Your Highness. But what is majesty? I'll tell you. It might sound contradictory or paradoxical, which often God can be, but Jesus, the Prince of Heaven, humbling himself, coming down to his own, sacrificing the glory he was experiencing in heaven to come to become one of his own, to become like a man, to become a man, because he's all God and he was all man. That level of sacrifice I cannot even comprehend, but I know it's majestic. He is the only majesty, in my humble opinion. And unto Jesus be all glory, honor, and praise. Anything good I have done, anything praiseworthy, I must give that to God, because it is only through him I am able to do these things. I can't even get out of bed without him. And people will scoff at that and say, oh yeah, there's plenty of people who aren't Christian who get up and get out of bed. But I get out of bed with the blessed hope that today might be the day Jesus comes again. Hallelujah. And that's because of that I do get out of bed. Hallelujah. Gifts. That is the greatest gift eternal life through Christ Jesus is the greatest gift, and that it is a gift. We did nothing for it. We can do nothing for it but receive it. Hopefully, thankfully, and gratefully. Turning our lives over to Him, just as He turned His over to us, to save us. And so, Lord, now we are Yours. And we know that because Your Word tells us so in Ephesians. He tells us, don't you know you're not your own? You were bought at a price. This is in chapter 6, by the way, 19 and 20. You're not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. Hallelujah. We are His. His majesty, which I believe is His mercy, the most majestic, wonderful thing that I believe the Lord even says is His, tells us in Exodus. Chapter 33, when Moses was on the mountain and said, Lord, let me see you. And he couldn't, because he would have been vaporized by the glory of God. So God told him, get in that cleft, and I'll put my hand there. And when I walk by, you look at me from behind. And then he told him, I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy. That's what he told Moses when Moses said he wanted to see God's glory. His mercy. His majesty. That's the greatest gift. It flows from His throne unto His own. So His anthem raised. What is His anthem? It's just every word of praise and worship we can conceive. He tells us to rejoice in Him so many places, in Philippians, in Ephesians, in Thessalonians. So Paul is getting the word out. Rejoice. His anthem, raise. Exalt, lift up on high the name of Jesus. His name, Emmanuel. Son of God, bright morning star, the lifter of our heads, the savior of our souls. I mean, how many names? And so glorious are they all, because He gives them to us. We share in that inheritance, because God told us in His word, we are co-heirs with Jesus, and all the names that He has been named, all those things, all those descriptions about Jesus, He shares them with us. Praise God for His unspeakable gift. That should be plural. Praise God for His unspeakable gifts. The greatest being eternal life through our Lord's blood. So magnify and come glorify Christ Jesus the King. Is it this time of year that people will glorify Jesus? There are plenty who don't anymore, but Christmas is generally the time to glorify, magnify, and worship, because God sent His Son. And it's the time we celebrate that Jesus came. But I think that should be so, and everybody says this, you know, say we should. I wish Christmas time could be all year round. Not giving presents, not having to string lights on the house, but the generosity of spirit. The generosity of spirit that is given to us because God has been so generous with His Spirit. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, that we can share it with others. And it should be every day, every single day. We should do these things. And we should give gifts to others every day. But I'm not talking about, you know, a bicycle. I'm not talking about a video game or a necklace or anything like that. The first and foremost gift we should share with others is the good news, the gospel. That because, as I said, it is the greatest gift. Jesus, who died, now glorified King of all kings. We should tell people about that and tell them that you can be with him. You can live forever in glory, or you can live forever in perdition. But how wonderful is it that we can live forever with him in heaven, but more than that, we can have fellowship with him now, right now, and all we have to do is say Jesus. And he's there, he's ready, he's listening. As soon as you say his name, Jesus, he's like, yeah, I hear you. How many times, especially in the old telephones, you know, you answer the phone, hello, and nobody's there. I know with these robocalls, it really gets on my nerves. I don't know about anybody else, but I don't know if anyone knows how robocalls work, but they dial 10 numbers at a time, and the first person who picks up is the one who gets that actual live person. That's one way robocalls work. And so the other 9 are picking up the phone, and nobody's there. Well, with God, he's always there. Jesus on the main line, tell him what you want. He's always there. And so that is one of the gifts we can give to others every day. Listening. Listening. What does it mean to listen? I like the word hearken. You know, the word tells us in the Psalms that the angels hearken unto the voice of God's word. The word hearken means to listen with attention. Sorry about that. Listen with attention. No interrupting. No planning your response. No one-upmanship. Just listening. Just hearing what that person has to say. And taking it in. Not wondering, what did they mean by that? Just listen. That's one of the best gifts we can give to each other, is to listen. And then form your response. Wait till you've heard it all. Let them get it out, no matter how long it takes. My friend Linda, she's elderly, and she has had strokes. And she was telling me yesterday just of some terrible frustration she has had because she needed to talk to Medicare and find out about this whole sign up for something else thing. She wanted to hear what they had to offer. And they didn't want to listen. She said, I've had some strokes. Okay, I can't write your information down as quickly as you might want. So please, say that again. They didn't listen. They said, I'll pass you off to somebody else. And then that person said, well, I'll have somebody call you back. They didn't listen. That's all anyone really wants us to do when they're talking to us is listen. Just hear. No, not just hear. Listen. And then there is a response required, generally, when you are listening. Whether it is to just repeat back what that person said to show that you understand it, or if it's to do something because they're asking you to take an action. But listen, make sure you get it before you act on it. And that's why, I mean, people make fun of it. What I'm hearing you say is, you know, people make fun of that. It's called reflective listening. It's a person-centered therapy. But, and people make fun of it, but you know what? It's so useful in interpersonal relationships. It can save so much bother and tension and strife. It can save you a lot of trouble if you just listen. And I need to hear this. I may be preaching to me. Because sometimes I'm just in the zone. I gotta go, gotta do things, get things done. What? Okay, bye. And I didn't get it. What did you say? I have to call back later on. Or I have done something and somebody said, well, that's not what I wanted. If you just listen, make sure you've heard, and then have your response. Then take action. So, and that sometimes that's all anyone wants, is just to be heard. And you don't have to do anything else. You don't have to say anything. You don't have to do anything. You've heard them, and that's all they wanted. Husbands, I just gave you a tip. Sometimes all a woman wants is to be heard. Sometimes she may be ranting and raving about some silly, stupid thing. Or she may be crying and wetting your shirt. But that arm around her shoulder and your ear to listen, that's all she wants. She doesn't want you to go beat anybody up. She wants you to go fix something. She just wants you to hear it. She just wants to know that somebody is hearing her concern. And men, for you guys, women, listen up. Sometimes a man just wants to walk through the door without having to hear anything. Sometimes a man wants to walk in the door after he's been working, and he just wants to have a few minutes to sit down and hear nothing. Listen to that. That too is listening. By just giving the person some space. Listen to nonverbal cues. It's not always about what somebody's saying. It's about what they're displaying. So if somebody walks through the door and they seem heavy-hearted, their shoulders drooped, their head's down, or there's tension there in their face and in their shoulders, go ahead and ask, you need something? You okay? Just need a minute. Okay. And then give them the minute. Give them 15. Give them some time. Listen. I could go on and on about listening, but I think I've made the point. Another gift we can give to one another, and one God has given us so greatly and so perfectly in the gift of Jesus, is affection. Everyone needs it. Everyone needs it. No man is an island. Everyone needs affection. Hugs, appropriate hugs. Don't be like the Samoans on Bob Barker, lifting him up off the ground, shaking him like a rag doll. Just give somebody a squidge, as they call it in England. Just a quick little hug, an arm around the shoulder, a peck on the cheek, pat on the back. Sometimes actions speak louder than words. And sometimes a person, when their head's hanging down, their shoulders are drooping, they just need a hug. I mean, it sounds like, you know, our modern day psychobabble kind of stuff, but it works. I will admit, I'm not big on hugging. I haven't been. Nola Jean's helped out with that a lot. And I've learned to even ask for them when I need one. Steve's like, okay. But he does it. He gives good hugs. And affection doesn't have to be physical. You can just look at a person and go, okay, flash that three-finger okay symbol, you know. I'm trying to describe visually what I'm doing up here. Because somebody might be listening to this on the internet. There are all kinds of hand gestures people give us to show us they are not happy with us. And no, Pastor, I'm not using any of them right now. But there are also plenty to give encouragement. Thumbs up. All right. Okay. High five. Score. You can give affection without having to actually touch somebody if that's just not your thing. But I will say this. For the person who finds it comfortable to give physical affection and then does it anyway, that's pretty awesome. And God smiles on that. I think that's one of the things that'll be rewarded when we get up there at the judgment seat of Christ. When we're standing there and we're getting our rewards, the things we stretched out on where we're uncomfortable and yet we know that that would probably help somebody, and we do that anyway, even though it kind of gives us the willies. God's like, hey, you put somebody else above yourself. I like that. So here you go. Attaboy. So just give affection. The gift of laughter. Sharing funny stories and jokes. Shows you love to laugh, and you love to laugh with people. Steve's a good one for that, too. Sometimes when I'm irritated, and he can see that the meltdown is starting to happen, he'll just do something goofy and make me laugh, and boop, it's over. Steve, my brother. We got two Steves in here, you know. But, and I love how Lloyd loves to laugh. I love to laugh with my friends. It's joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength, as it tells us in Nehemiah. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Sometimes, though, we're not that strong. And we need a pick-me-up. The laughter does good like a medicine, Proverbs tells us, right? So, hey, funny doctors out there, doctors of comedy, you're doing someone a good service. You're doing them good like a medicine when you make them laugh. I don't know how many of you watch musicals, and probably not many. My absolute favorite musical is Singing in the Rain. I love that movie. And Donald O'Connor, a wonderful dancer. Everybody who's listening online is like, who the heck is Donald O'Connor? And I see some faces out there going, who's that? He was a dancer and a song guy way back when, in the ancient 1950s. Somebody took offense at that. But no, the movie Singing in the Rain, Donald O'Connor has a song in there. It's called Make 'em Laugh. And I highly recommend anyone Google that and watch that thing. If you they have these these dare not to laugh challenges. I tell you what, watching that, it'll make you laugh. Anyone who doesn't laugh seeing that, you need some help. But he's singing, he's dancing around, and it's joyful. Just, it never fails to put a smile on my face. Make them laugh. Make them laugh. Make them laugh. Don't you know all the world loves to laugh? I'm not going to sing the whole thing because I can't remember it. And Lloyd's going, thank the Lord. Like I said, laughter does good like a medicine. There have been studies done about this. There was a man who was told he had terminal cancer, and he had 3 months to live. But he knew the Word of God, and he knew that laughter would help. So he told his kids, bring me every single videotape. Yes, this is the days of VHS. Bring me a VCR and bring me every single tape you can get on Abbott and Costello, The Three Stooges, and Buster Keaton. That was his thing. He loved slapstick. And so every single thing they could find on slapstick, like I said, The Stooges, Abbott and Costello, Buster Keaton, they brought it. And he laughed. And people were going by his hospital room hearing him laugh and laugh and laugh out loud. People were wondering, what is going on in there? But I tell you what, he was still alive when that 3 months was over. And doctors were saying, it's receding. You are, they did the medicine, you know, he's doing the treatment. By all means, use wisdom. But he used the Word of God. He used faith, and he used laughter. And it helped, and he survived. I can't recall exactly, but I believe he lived another 13 years after that. Hallelujah. Glory to God for laughter. It's one of his best gifts. The gift of a written note, thoughtfulness, consideration. Everybody, at least everybody in this room, I know, is courteous and thoughtful. They'll open a door for somebody, help you out with whatever you have need of, but a short note. Eddie's a real good one for this. She'll just be texting all kinds of good stuff. Encouraging, exhorting. And we just can't tell you how much it means to hear those encouraging words. And you just get it straight out of the Bible. That's another great thing, is you just share the Word of God with somebody in an encouraging note. Just a little brief handwritten note left in somebody's seat at church. That could be something. But in our modern day and age, texting is so easy. And so convenient. So why not do it, right? Send a word of encouragement to your brothers and sisters in Christ. But why not send one out to the lost, too? Hey, going to church Sunday, you want to come? Got a program going on the 23rd. Want to come? Got pizza on Wednesday night. You want to come? Or, you know, I understand fill in the blank happened. I'm sorry. I hope you feel better. Let me know what I can do. You know, just things like that. Can really lift a person's spirits to know that you care. There's a story, true story, so can you call it a story? There was a woman, lived in a neighborhood, you know, middle class, nice neighborhood. Lived in one of those old 100-year-old houses, had two stories, you know, pretty nice place. And she had this little boy that lived next door. I mean, it's kind of a Dennis the Menace situation, because he'd pick her flowers to bring a bouquet to his mama. And he'd be kind of loud, hi, when he's going by. And, of course, he'd run a stick along her picket fence, make a racket. And she just really got to where she hated to see him coming. And she's kind of a miserable lady. And she sort of made other people around her miserable. She didn't really have her children in her life. She'd pushed them away. Her neighbors never really checked on her or anything because, like I said, she was miserable. And her misery made other people miserable. She was so, she would lash out a lot. And she'd yell at this little boy, but nothing seemed to drive him away. Nothing. Nothing doused his enthusiasm. Mrs. So-and-so, look at this. Look at this neat truck. Mrs. So-and-so, have a flower. Did you pick that in my garden? Not thank you. Just, where'd you get that? And one day, and he would never give up. He would always keep on at it until she responded somehow, even if he just got yelled at. So one day, he's at her door, and he's ringing her bell. He's got to sell some things. You know how kids are given these big pamphlets with these stupid, junky products to sell. Plastic stuff that's going to end up in your attic or a yard sale at some point that nobody really wants. But you buy the stuff because, hey, it's a fundraiser for school, right? So he's got to sell this stuff, and everybody in the neighborhood has bought something. And he knows she's probably not going to anyway, but he's going to ring her bell. So he does. And he rings it again. And he rings again, and she's not coming, and she's not coming, but he's got to sell this stuff. So he's ringing it again. And inside, this lady is sitting upstairs in her bathroom, and this bell keeps ringing. And she's staring at herself in the mirror. She's been there a while, staring at herself in the mirror. And she knows this bell is not going to quit ringing, so she decides to answer it. And she goes down, and it's that little boy again. And this time, instead of yelling at him for bothering her, she bent down and she hugged him. She opened that door, she bent down and she hugged him. And later on, she told the little boy's mother, I was standing in front of my bathroom sink, and I had all my pills in my hand, and I was going to just end my misery. And then the bell rang, and it rang, and it rang, and it rang. So I dropped those pills, and I opened the door, and I saw that little boy who's always waving at me, hollering hello to me. And then I remembered there is someone in this world who does care. There is someone in this world who smiles when they see me, no matter how miserable I am. Your son saved my life, because I was about to end it. And then he rang that bell. So we don't have any clue what our expressions can do. We don't have any clue what just one word of encouragement can do for someone. Just giving somebody a wave may actually save their life. How profound is that? And we may never know. But the gift of a written note, the gift of a smile, you don't know what change that may bring. Another gift is the gift of a compliment. And let's make them sincere, folks. Like my mom always said, if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. And I think that's true. Don't give somebody a little white lie and tell them their hair looks good if you don't think so. Just don't say anything. If you must give a compliment, try to find something that you can be sincere about. It is good to hear, "You look great today," or "You're special." It's good to hear that, but make sure you mean it when you say it. Because phoniness comes off like a stink. You know, I could cook you the best steak you have ever eaten. And I've done it before, so I know I can. Steve can testify. And I could put a fluffy, gorgeous baked potato next to that. And yes, I would put broccoli on the plate. But then, if I served that on a trash can lid, how appetizing is that? So please, when you are giving someone pretty words, make sure they're presented with sincerity. There's a saying that I've taken to heart. Truthful words are not always pretty, but pretty words are not always truthful. So if you're going to speak prettily to someone, please do it sincerely. Because it negates your words if you're not. And then what value is it? It's about like that steak on a trash can lid. Not very appetizing. There are so many gifts. Okay, I'm not done with compliments yet. Okay, Lord. But if you look at somebody and you notice they've taken a little extra time with their appearance that day, go ahead and mention it. "Hey, you're looking good today." If they're not looking so good, show that concern. "Hey, you feeling all right?" Mix and match these gifts. You can do that, you know. And then when you ask somebody, "Are you feeling all right?" be sure to listen. That's something that I have found out is unique to the United States. That we ask, "How you doing? How are you?" as a greeting. In other places, when people ask that question, they'll expect an answer, an actual answer, not "fine, good," you know, and then keep on going. Here in the United States, that is actually just a greeting. "How you doing? How's it going?" And you just keep on going. But in other countries, they think you are wanting to know how they're doing, and they'll tell you. So be prepared to listen. Compliments. Mean them when you say them. And I'm not saying we should go out of our way to give somebody a compliment. If that's not something you do, that may be a ministry gift that you just haven't been granted. You might want to cultivate it. Might be something you want to do. Pray about it. On each of these gifts, remember the best gift we've got, salvation, which includes fellowship with God. Lord, I'm not a real encouraging person. I've come to realize I'm just not an encouraging person. I'd like to be more encouraging. Lord, show me how to do that. Should I give more compliments? Should I leave little notes? Should I give more affection? Ask the Lord about it. And then he puts it in your spirit to do it. You will be amazed at how little things will drop into your spirit. You'll start to notice things. You'll start noticing somebody's appearance. You'll start noticing the work they're doing. And then you compliment it, and you can do it sincerely. Nola Jean, I love the notes you put on your song sheets. It's stuff I can follow. I can't read music, okay? I can't read music any better than I could read Sanskrit. But I can read where you put an underline there to hold the word out. I can read where you put the arrow up, where it's like that's a high note. I can read that. So I like that you do that on your song sheet. It helps me do the song better. So thank you. When you give a compliment, make it personal and mean it. Like I said, pray about these gifts. I'm not a real affectionate person. I will give it if it's requested of me, and most of the time it's requested silently because somebody's reaching in for a hug. So I'll give it. Praise God, I've learned how to do that. There was a time I couldn't. I would step up, step away, frown. But now I can at least receive it. So praise the Lord. Let us pray. Father, we just thank you. We thank you for all your many gifts. We thank you for the knowledge that each and every one of these gifts is wrapped up in the greatest gift of salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask you to help us to share that gift, to share your word, share your love through Christ Jesus and your Holy Spirit. In his name. Amen.